No, it's Just Plane Radio.
Yeah.
The show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
I can fly.
Tame it to the pilot, tame it to the tamer, tame it to the pilot.
Brought to you by JustPlaneRadio.com.
It's your lucky day.
Your aviation resource on the information super skyway.
You got a plane.
Call Just Plane Radio toll-free now at 888-884-2FLY.
And the sky's the limit.
That's 888-884-2359.
Sir, I'd like you to take the helm, please.
I'd be glad to. Greg, your co-pilot, that is me, along with Captain Keith, but he's running a little bit late today. So ideally, he'll join us a little later. I'm flying solo with the assistance of Captain Dennis, however. And so we are good to go because Dennis has been flying his own Mooney 201 for about a year now. And it's up for its annual inspection. And so we figured this would be a good time to bring on his airplane mechanic. And so we got Bill Halperin helping us out today as well. Bill, welcome to Just Plane Radio. How are you?
Yeah, very good. And, thanks for having me.
Yep. And so, Dennis, are you excited that you're about to reach your one-year annual, or are you like, oh, boy?
Well, I think we need to go get a birthday cake for the airplane. You know, it has been a year.
Yes. So.
I'm happy to have it back home in my hangar after spending 3 weeks with Bill.
Right. I was going to say, Bill, have you already sent the birthday card, which would pretty much be the invoice for the annual?
Actually, it's in the mail. I see it's coming today.
and that's dealt from a different department at our shop here. So.
Okay. All right. You let someone else handle that bad news.
Yeah.
Right?
I get to just tell him the bad news of what's broken, and he gets the bill for it from somebody else.
Okay, so go ahead, give us the good news and the bad news. What can you tell us about Dennis's plane after a year of flying it?
Well, you know, it's an older aircraft. It's the first time that I've ever seen it, and so I take a stance of, you know, everything comes apart and goes back together,
mm-hmm.
and you don't know what you're going to find. You find, you know, sometimes repairs from other mechanics that thought they were good and they aren't legal, and you find, you know, worn items and broken items, and you know, you just have to open everything up and look through everything and make sure that nothing's missed.
Right. And in his case, was he did he turn out pretty well, or did you find like a dead body or animal or something stuck in there, or what?
No dead bodies, no animals,
okay, good,
serious, but just a lot of little nitnoids.
Yeah.
So Moonies are notorious for having a lot of fasteners and the belly skins and whatnot, and there was just a hodgepodge of different hardware. You know, nothing was standardized, so it seems like when something didn't fit, they just put a different fastener in, and so we tried to correct some of that and, you know, put a bunch of hardware into the aircraft.
Right. Okay, just get it all standardized and cleaned up a bit.
Yep.
Okay.
Well, and the good thing for me is that the next time that I have to open this airplane up, it's going to be a lot easier because now I'm not dealing with a hodgepodge of parts. So actually, it's a net good thing for me as the owner.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. What about from your perspective?
Nothing worse than trying to remove a screw and the Phillips head is stripped out so you can't get anything on it. So.
Right. Yeah. Well, Dennis, have you already went through all this stuff with him, or you're still in the process of doing that?
I've gone over a lot of this with Bill, but it's just been really busy. I mean, we picked the airplane up on a Friday afternoon, and, you know, Bill's a busy guy, so you don't get to sit down and spend 2 hours with the doctor going over the prognosis here.
Yeah.
It's like, yep, you're good to go. Now I got to go on to the next thing.
Yeah, so in your, you know, the big scheme of things, with all the planes that you deal with, Bill, would you say his plane was right there in the middle of typical things you have to deal with, or what would you say in that regard?
I would say above average. Some of the things I get into are like eBay buys from Florida, where guys bring up their brand new airplanes and they're full of corrosion.
Right.
And that's kind of disheartening for new owners. This one, it's a nice, clean, straight Mooney. It has a lot of the newer features on it. Some of the Lupreste, he still has the gear fairings and everything on it. I flew it. It was nice to fly.
Yeah.
It it all kind of comes out. You know, it's mechanically sound. The gear is tight. You know, so down the road, he's not going to have lots of issues with, you know, gear linkages or anything like that.
Yeah. Well, and I would imagine you enjoyed all those new electronics, avionics that he had put in too, huh?
Well, that's a whole other thing.
Yeah.
You know, he's got the Avidyne package, and I'm not real up on flying the Avidyne package, but it seemed quite intuitive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so. new toy, I guess,
yep.
Right? Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, okay. So overall, you give it a pretty good rating, though. You thought it's holding up pretty good in Dennis's case, huh?
Most definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a good aircraft for him. So.
Well, Dennis, I would imagine that makes you pretty happy, right?
It does. It gives me a lot of confidence. I mean, it came fresh out of annual when I bought it, and you know, it hasn't given me too many problems, but it's nice to get a different set of eyes to look at it now. And it was also good. We took advantage of the fact it was in the shop with Bill and got to do some things like a manual gear extension. So when it was up on jacks being inspected, Austin was able to get into the cockpit, and Bill walked him through the procedure of what would how to put the gear down if you had an electrical failure.
Hmm.
And so those
okay.
are things you don't normally want to mess around in flight with, but in a controlled environment in the hangar, it's a great opportunity.
Oh, sure, sure. Bill, do you ever get a situation where you take one of these planes into annual and start going into it and go, gosh, this is an awesome plane. I think I want to just buy this from this guy. Does that happen?
Yeah, I have done that before.
Yeah.
I bought a little Cherokee 140 from a guy that I've been annualing for about 4 or 5 years, and he went to the airlines and wasn't flying it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, man, it's you know, you're not putting any hours on this. You know, what are you going to plan on doing with it? And he decided he wanted to sell it, and so I bought it from him.
Yeah.
But, you know, little things like that. You're always coming across guys that you know, there's two types of owners. There's the guy that really can't afford aviation and has to nickel and dime everything together.
Right.
Then there's the guy that wants a little bit of betterment each year, and those are the guys that I like.
Sure.
Because they're, you know, you can't cut corners as an AMP. You know, you're licensed and you have to go for checklists, and just like flying, you know, there's all kinds of different pilots out there.
Yeah. Well, I wish I had the skills you do, because I would imagine when you've come across those planes like that Cherokee, it just like that little bell goes off and you're around, cha-ching, or like you can really score a major bargain, I'm guessing. Am I right?
Yeah, you don't. There's really not major bargains, but
well,
you give him fair market price and that type of thing, and he's happy because his pride and joy is going to somebody that's going to use it well. And, you know, we actually used it here in the school for over 10 years.
Yeah. So how often do you get out and just fly for fun, or do you consider every flight fun?
Every flight is fun, and I'll fly anything. So
yeah,
hey, he's not kidding.
I've actually. Yeah. We've got a gyrocopter in the shop here now, and I'll be flying that when I'm done with it. I've never flown a gyrocopter before. So.
Yeah. Well, how many planes are you doing at a time? Do you like take one at a time, or you may have like 3 or 4 in annual that you're working through on a project, or how's that work exactly?
Well, my background is I'm the director of maintenance and chief floor sweeper of Hummingbird Aviation.
Chief floor sweeper? Is that what he said, Dennis?
Yes.
Yep, floor sweeper. So it's a one-man shop. I do everything. And we're trying to find more mechanics, but they're hard to find these days.
Yeah.
And I do what I can. I have to kind of make the flight school aircraft top priority. I take in customers' aircraft when I can.
Got it.
Yeah, right now I've got... I got a Bonanza in the back corner. I've got a Duke coming in next week. I've got a Jabiru that needs a condition inspection, and then this gyrocopter. So I do what I can until I kind of come to a stopping point for parts or whatnot, and
right.
the next one, and take really good notes, and then come back and, you know, finish things off.
I gotcha. Okay. And what would you tell someone who's getting ready for their first annual, or just any annual? Is there anything they should do prep-wise to make sure they're ready for their mechanic?
Get the aircraft clean.
Okay.
You know, take out all the non-essential items out of the aircraft. You know, I've got some customers that come in that they take their planes to Canada to go fishing, and you come back and it's full of McDonald's wrappers and everything else.
And you're like, what's that smell?
Yeah.
There is a dead animal in here, I think. Holy jeez. I can imagine.
I'm kind of expensive to clean your aircraft besides.
Well, that's good stuff, Bill, and we really appreciate the time here on Just Plane Radio today. We'll let you get back to fixing other planes because I know you're a busy guy, way busier than us. So enjoy your day, and we'll come back with more right here on Just Plane Radio. Stay close.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle. Imagine traveling twice as fast as you can drive. Imagine taking friends and family snorkeling, surfing, skiing, shopping, and more to exotic destinations. Imagine attending business meetings in cities far away and still making it home at night. Or just imagine exploring the wild blue yonder. Quit dreaming about it and get to it. There has never been a better time to become a private pilot, and flight training professionals in Orlando will show you how. Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is your full-service flight school. A state-of-the-art flight simulator, a fleet of the latest Cessna aircraft, and a staff of full-time seasoned flight instructors are just a few of the many reasons Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is the place to start your aviation adventure. Call 407-896-0077. That's 407-896-0077. Or go to ftpros.com. That's ftpros.com.
Whether you're a flight student, an experienced pilot, or simply an aviation enthusiast, there is a place for you as a member of the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association. Join AOPA to get the latest general aviation news, safety resources, and technical support you need to sharpen your skills and become a central part of the nation's vibrant general aviation community. Learn more about becoming a member at AOPA.org. That's AOPA.org.
Need to replace that old Garmin? Need a new GPS for your plane? No matter what you fly, Avidyne has you covered. Since 1994, Avidyne's been a market leader in the design of intuitive displays in avionics. The mission has always been to use innovative technology to improve safety and increase aircraft utility. Go to Avidyne.com to find a dealer in the solution for you. That's Avidyne.com or call 1-800-AVIDYNE. Avidyne. For pilots that know the difference.
You are now clear for takeoff with Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
I was the youngest pilot in Pan Am history. When I was 4, the pilot let me ride in the cockpit and fly the plane with him. And I was 4, and I was great. And I would have landed it, but my dad wanted us to go back to our seats.
Airplanes, up to the clouds like angels can fly. We'll never die.
This is Just Plane Radio. Gregor Co-Pilot, that's me, along with Captain Dennis. And as I mentioned earlier, Keith has arrived. So we pretty much have a full crew. Keith, how are you, buddy?
I'm doing great, Greg. How about yourself?
Right? I'm swell. Dennis is happier than any of us, though, because he got through his first annual, and the mechanic gave him a thumbs up. He's ready to fly. By the way, have you been flying that plane yet, Dennis, or no?
Oh, yeah. I've had it up a couple times here over the weekend. Got night current in it. Just had to shake the dust off after it was in the mechanic for a whole week. Got to make sure that everything's still good.
Yeah, because he has
a missed
plan.
It.
He has That's a plan right. to take this plane someplace, and we're going to talk about that. And also, we're going to talk about this book. Someone, one of our Just Plane Radio viewers, Keith, sent me a book to inspire me.
And it's geared right for his age group, too.
Okay, well.
He obviously didn't know that you don't know how to read, so it must be pictures only.
Well, I'm waiting for the I got it in audiobook form.
Ah, okay. All right.
So that's kind of, we'll talk about that soon enough, or I'll try to push it off as long as I can delay this abuse. But that brings us to Steve, Steve is from Wings of the North, and he's on Just Plane Radio right now. Steve, welcome to Just Plane Radio. How are you?
Hey, very good. Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me on.
You got it. Now, first of all, tell us what Wings of the North is.
Wings of the North is a 501c3 organization at Flying Cloud Airport, Eden Prairie, Minnesota. We are preserving and telling the story of history and throwing an education side in it as much as possible.
Okay, and you're up there in Captain Dennis's neck of the woods. And
that
Dennis,
is correct.
You are actually planning to do an event with them with your newly refurbed plane, correct?
That's right. I want to show off the Mooney, and the Air Expo is coming up here in July, and I thought I'd put the Mooney out on display, so if people want to come out and take a look at the work we've done at the panel, be able to just, you know, get up close and personal with general aviation aircraft, that's what I'm going to be able to do. Steve, of course, has much cooler airplanes to show off. I'm kind of spoiled. I get to look out the hangar every day and see P-51 Mustangs and Corsairs flying over, and that's all compliments to them.
Excellent. So that's what you're going to be doing for this Air Expo in July, I take it, right, Steve?
Yes, July 14th and 15th.
And just so we don't forget, is there a website people can go check out and get more information if they want to participate in this, like, or fly in or something?
Yes, absolutely. Wingsofthenorth.org or WOTN.org.
Okay, fair enough. So this Air Expo will be like some of those type of planes, like the P-51. Are they going to be given flights, or is it just going to be on display to get your picture with the plane? What's going on as part of this?
A little bit of everything. We have our Mustang, of course, will be there, which is Sierra Sioux. Sierra Sioux is one of only about half a dozen left Mustangs of Mustangs that were actually involved in World War II, actually flew missions. We'll have some other visiting Mustangs there. Of course, the Corsair. Corsair is Jerry Beck's former Dash 4 that now resides in our hangar for part of the year. And we've got a host of other visiting aircraft. We've got the Sky Raider coming up from Iowa, potential with the C-130.
Nice.
Last year we had the Marines come in CH-53s. That was quite a sight. They should be back this year as well.
Okay, so is this like an annual event, I assume, or even more often?
Yep, actually, it's once a year. We've been doing this since 1998, and every year at Flying Cloud.
Okay, so it's one of the events that Wings of the North does, and you have this museum on site as well, but it's just one of many events, so you don't even have to wait for that. I got something else here. Dennis alerted me to the fact you have Heather Penny coming to the area to do something with you guys. So what's that all about?
Well, we, as being a .org, we have to raise funds to stay in business, and Heather is going to help us. We're having an evening with her on June 22nd. That's open to the public, 7 o'clock to 10, and she'll be there. If you're not familiar with who Heather Penny is, she was an F-16 driver who was scrambled on 9/11 to intercept the airliner that was eventually crashed in Philadelphia. So she'll be in telling her story of being one of the first female pilots in the Air Force and along with that mission.
That'd be fascinating. Yeah, they call her Lucky Penny. And I'm sure that came into play on 9/11 for sure. I have a feeling she has quite a story that she shares. But that's the kind of stuff you guys do at Wings of the North all the time, I assume, right? Or fairly regularly. So you got that happening in June. Once again, you can go to their website, wingsofthenorth.org, and get more information on that and how to participate. But as far as the museum, What does that encase? Like, stuff is there year-round, then you can just go through and there's displays and information, or what?
Yes, that's correct. We're open Saturdays and Sundays from 10 to 2. We're right under the tower at, the southeast corner of the field. We have a beautiful facility and lots of displays, various engines. Of course, the aircraft, we have... any given year, we'll have visiting aircraft. We had Harker's B-25 C&P Aviation in our hangar the year before. We had a visiting L-4 this year. We had two TBMs. We had Mark Yagi's TBM came down from Fargo and had that in our hangar, along with our TBM a couple of weeks ago. So we have events and lots to see. We do a lot of tours, a lot of things happening. We do like to hit on one series that we've started in this year. We call it the Pathfinder series, and we bring in speakers and let them tell their stories. We had John Hansen, who was a former Northwest Airline pilot. He had a rudder hardover when he was flying over the Bering Sea, and he was telling us about that. We had, very close to my heart, my uncle, Richard Kaminsky. He was a waist gunner, B-17s, 8th Air Force, still alive, still sharp as a tack, and he was telling his stories here a couple of months ago as well.
Excellent. So, I mean, how much time do you think, you know, someone listening, if they wanted to fly over there, is it something they could see a lot of it in an afternoon, or would they need to dedicate an entire day or two, or what do you think?
No, I think right now, really, in the facility we're in, it's just been within the last year we really moved here. It's a day easily, you know, right, where you can cover everything and see it. And any given weekend day, we're flying as well. So who knows, you might come out and see the Mustang or the Corsair or TBM go off as well.
Excellent. And that's what you're doing, Dennis, here in July. Is that the plan?
That's the plan.
Yeah, you're going to fly. I mean, what are you doing this for, Dennis? Just to fly your plane like a fly-in?
Well, I don't really even have to fly it. I just have to taxi across the field. That's the great part. But
exactly, right.
I just want to hang out, you know, and what better place to be at an air show than in the midst of the grounds, you know, right there watching these airplanes coming over and all the people milling around, all the energy and activity and interest that's there. I think it's just great.
Well, it sounds way more entertaining than a $100 hamburger, but I'm guessing you could probably pick up one of those at the
We'll have lots of those there, right?
Yes. Well, great stuff.
Absolutely.
Well, Steve, thanks for the update, and we wish you success with those events. Once again, wingsofthenorth.org. Check it out, and Steve will let you get back to it. And thanks for being on Just Plane Radio.
Hey, thanks very much.
We got more coming up. Stay close.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Up around the stratosphere at 31,000 feet. I'm gonna fly on out of here on wings that you can't see. If you're gonna fly high without fear, you're gonna have to learn to love the atmosphere, and you gotta learn to use those wings you can't see.
This is Just Plane Radio. Greg, your co-pilot, that's me, along with Captain Keith and Dennis, rounding out the crew today. All right, so Dennis is getting ready to take his Mooney 201 over to this Wings of the North event and the Air Expo in July. Sounds like pretty cool stuff. And one of the things that you've done, not only did you just get your annual done, but you got some upgrades, some visual upgrades done to your Mooney, so you're ready to show this off. Am I right, Dennis?
That's right. You know, after putting all that work into the panel and cleaning up everything, I really had a hard time looking down at the carpets and going, wow, this is still the same original 1982 carpet. And it was really starting to show with sun fade and dirt. And so I started looking around, and one of the companies that was highly regarded was SCS Interiors. And when I found out they were out of Duluth, Minnesota, which was my hometown, it was pretty easy to make a decision where I was going to go order kits from.
Well, there you go. And we got Mike from SCS Interiors on Just Plane Radio right now. Mike, welcome. How are you?
Good. It was a pleasure to hear from Dennis. He approached us about his Mooney and the carpet kit. And, you know, what he said is really true. The one of the easiest ways to upgrade the appearance of your airplane, and one of the most inexpensive ways is to replace your carpet kit, because it's a big visual area in the airplane. And I have a lot of people approach me about, I'm trying to sell the plane, the carpet looks bad, what can we do? And it's a great way to spend a little bit of money and get a lot of visual impact.
Well, you know, carpet holds a lot of smells. You hear what I'm saying?
And yes,
I'm thinking,
sir.
That is one reason I would almost demand new carpet when I was buying a used plane, I think. And is that kind of how it came to be with you guys? You just saw this need and like, hey, we can do this?
To be honest, we produce a lot of upholstery kits, and we had some excess capacity. We were kind of coming out of the 2000 market crash, and we were looking at what other capabilities we had that we could market to people, and selling carpet kits to customers, what turned out to be worldwide, was a nice way to broaden our customer base and make a constant cash flow.
Nice. Well, Mike, hold on. We got more with Mike from SCS Interiors next on Just Plane Radio.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
For takeoff with Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Have you boys seen an aircraft carrier around here?
This is Just Plane Radio. Greg, your co-pilot. That's me, along with Captain Keith and Dennis and Mike, who is our guest right now from SCS Interiors. He just did a nice little upgrade on Captain Dennis's Mooney 201 with some carpet. And that is something, Keith, that you can appreciate, right? New carpet, that new carpet smell. That kind of makes a plane smell new. You know what I'm saying?
Even if it isn't. We don't use carpet in our airplanes just because we have so much traffic in our airplanes. We just use the rubber mats. But
yeah,
for somebody who's got a personal aircraft, it's a great way to upgrade very inexpensively.
Well, and plus it would make the interior quieter if you put in carpet, I would guess, wouldn't it?
I think it does a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, it does it? What do you think, Mike? Do you use that as a selling point as well?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, vinyl flooring is another product that goes hand in hand with carpet kits. We have a tremendous amount of sales to Alaskan customers that are ferrying cargo or are hauling packages or whatever, and we have a very lightweight vinyl product that works excellent. You know, it's super durable. It's not affected by 20 below.
Mm-hmm.
And if there is a need for sound dampening, we've gotten involved in making our own. It's a quarter inch closed cell foam, closed cell because it doesn't absorb moisture, and it has an adhesive backing, so you can stick it right to the back of your vinyl or your carpet, and it does cancel noise, and it also does some good vibration dampening. So I always tell people, I'm not trying to oversell the product. It's not like you're going to be able to talk to your co-pilot with no headphones on,
right?
But it does. You know, like if you're just looking for a marginal increase or decrease in the decibels inside of your airplane, it makes a huge difference. And the foam also has an insulating value too. I take scrap pieces of it home, and if I'm using it in my garage and I kneel on it, it cushions my knees. And if I'm laying on it, I can't feel the cool, the cool of the floor. So it's a good product all the way around, and it works for both carpet and for vinyl flooring, and I've also had a lot of people approach me about putting it behind their door panels as well. So
okay,
it's kind of an interesting product.
Well, that explains why it's not SCS carpet; it's SCS interior. So you got all different types of options available, and I assume it's SCSinteriors.com or something to that effect.
Absolutely, yeah, you can easily. If you Google SCSinteriors.com, you'll get us. If you Google airplane interiors, you'll get us. If you Google carpet kits for airplanes, you'll get it. So we've gotten it's a tremendous thing, the web, when you get a little bit of a following and you start to pop up on people's browsers.
Well, sometimes that's good. Sometimes that's not so good. Hey.
Yeah, that's true.
But regardless, I hear what you're saying. Yeah. Now these kits. So is it something like Dennis is like? You have a pre-cut kit for a Mooney 201, or does the people call you up and say, "Hey, I got this particular plane," and then you pull up some schematics and then you cut it to their particular plane?
That's correct. We have 266 airplanes. We have carpet kits for the goal. Is that when you get the carpet kit, that it's got all the bound edges where they need to be bound. It has heel pads are supposed to be. It's supposed to be easy to install. At heart, I'm an upholsterer, and over the years, I've installed carpet kits in cars and airplanes and boats. And as we all know, everything that says it's pre-made or ready-cut, it's going to need a few modifications. You're going to have to apply some a razor blade or a pair of scissors to cut around some obstacles, but But Dennis would have to speak to the ease of the kit installation. That's sort of our overriding goal, that the customer gets something they can unbox and put in themselves.
Yeah,
well you definitely set me up for success on that. I mean, when we were first discussing it with your team, you offered to send out paper templates to make sure that things would fit specifically with my year, make, and model, because that was a big transition period in the Moonies, that they had a different type of a seat back a year or two earlier, and then they changed a different style a year or two later. And so we were able to make sure that those templates would fit exactly and order just the pieces that we needed that fit my plane. So when it came in, the only thing I had to make adjustments for was to cut around where the fuel drain was in the floor on the pilot side. And that's something that you guys, you know, obviously don't want to cut a big hole in your carpet, because it could be off a little bit one direction or another. So that's a reasonable adjustment to make in the field. And that was really all I had to do.
Yeah, pretty simple stuff. Now, you were telling us before the break there, Mike, that, this kind of was an offshoot of your upholstery background, is that what you were telling me, or
that's correct? Yeah, you know, if you go back 25 years, my dad and I had a small upholstery shop in Duluth. Our primary or core business was serving local dealerships and commercial businesses like restaurants and hospitals. And at that point in time, somebody from Cirrus approached us about building a prototype interior. The Cirrus aircraft was experimental. They came to us with a concept. We upholstered it. They liked it. And then, you know, you can take out a lot of blood, sweat, and tears, but here we are almost 20 years later and 7,000 aircrafts later, and our business has had a hand in many of the interior parts of the Cirrus aircraft.
So it was Cirrus that sucked you into the aviation industry.
That's right, yeah. Okay. Up until then, we had had, you know, just moderate exposure to it. We had, you know, a few pilots, local pilots, had brought us kits to install or brought us seats to upgrade the upholstery in. You know, it was a very, very small segment of the business. And so we got involved, and, we got immersed in the regulations and the documentation and the stuff you need to do so that pilots can make an entry in their logbook and say that carpet kit meets the regulations that fit their aircraft.
Well, you got sucked in like that, Mike. The real question is, did you suck up to Cirrus and say, oh, yeah, sure, I'll make your carpet, but you're going to give me one of these planes for me, right?
Boy, that'd be nice, wouldn't it? I mean, even that at the point we got involved with them, they were building their customer base, and they were basically taking orders for planes and with the promise to build them, you know, sometime in the future. And it was a real gamble for us at that point to, believe that that the company was going to, you know, exist 10 years down the road, or even five years down the road. So it paid off. And here we are, like I said, 7,000 airplanes, and now we have 40 employees, and, we sell carpet kits to people all across the U.S. and the world, so it's kind of a crazy, it's kind of a crazy deal, how a small little crack can explode into a large crevice. So a lot of hard work, a lot of good experience, along the way, you get involved in Oshkosh and EAA and NBAA and air shows all across the country. So it's been a real fun ride.
Were you a pilot?
It was a big risk for a lot of people to take on Cirrus, and a lot of people initially ordered and then took their orders back.
Yeah,
and
well, it was a gamble on all
positions, and
So were you a pilot though before you started this, or Cirrus put you? Pulled you into this thing, and next thing you know, you're, the official carpet of Cirrus or something.
No, where we basically got involved in the beginning was with seat upholstery. I still, to this day, I'm not a pilot.
There's one person I can beat still.
Well, don't push
time.
It because
know,
we were having
time.
A discussion.
Dennis and I were talking about this the other day.
Ah,
there's still time.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm trying to convince him. You know, he's got a daughter that's going to college, and so this would be a really easy way for him to go visit her on a frequent basis without spending 6 hours on the road.
Right, but you didn't right use on. Me as motivation, did you?
Actually, I think we did. I think you could pass up the host of the show if you started now.
No. I just want to be one level above somebody.
So, Mike, do you do sunshades as well?
We have made sunshades for customers. We've made curtains. You know, I guess when you really think about some of the things, you know, you hear crazy stories all the time when you listen to people that are, you know, when you're just you and your dad, and then they come up to you and say, can you make yolk grips, leather wrapped yolk grips? You're like, yeah, I've never made one in my life. But you just answer, yeah, we can figure it out, you know. And
if the price is right, you'll find a way. That's what
that's
it sounds
right.
like to me.
Yeah, right on.
Hey, it's the American way. All right. Well, scsinteriors.com. Check it out. Mike, thanks for helping out Dennis, and we wish you luck, all right?
Yeah, it's been a pleasure meeting all of you. Thank you for having me on the show.
You got it. We got more coming up on Just Plain Radio.
Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Be an explorer in the other two-thirds of your world. Be the buddy who takes the kids in the aquarium instead of just to it. Be adventurous. Be amazed. Be a diver.
For nearly 75 years, the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association has been a beacon for those who cherish the freedom to fly. AOPA protects your rights as a pilot by fighting airspace restrictions, fuel taxes, user fees, airport closings, and other issues that threaten your ability to take to the sky. AOPA is on the front lines every day to ensure that general aviation and the interests of its members are promoted and safeguarded. Learn more about how you can become a member at AOPA.org.
Imagine traveling twice as fast as you can drive. Imagine taking friends and family snorkeling, surfing, skiing, shopping, and more to exotic destinations. Imagine attending business meetings in cities far away and still making it home at night. Or just imagine exploring the wild blue yonder. Quit dreaming about it and get to it. There has never been a better time to become a private pilot, and flight training professionals in Orlando will show you how. Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is your full-service flight school. A state-of-the-art flight simulator, a fleet of the latest Cessna aircraft, and a staff of full-time seasoned flight instructors are just a few of the many reasons Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is the place to start your aviation adventure. Call 407-896-0077. That's 407-896-0077. Or go to ftpros.com. That's ftpros.com.
You are now clear for takeoff with Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
If this company is a plane, then this is Richard's damn plane. And if he wants to fly into the side of a mountain, that is his prerogative, and it is our duty to climb on, strap in, and have a fiery death right behind him.
I don't know. I don't know about that.
Gonna take a for a ride on a beach, yeah, fine.
Yeah, yeah. This is Just Plain Radio. Greg, your co-pilot. That's me along with Captain Keith and Dennis rounding out the crew. Navigating the latest aviation news and information. Then just stuff about Dennis's plane, which is pretty much what it's been about today, which is fine. I'm happy for you. But you've been doing some training too, right? Did I get this right? You just got your commercial test passed or something? Is that
yep,
what happened?
I had to go back and retake my commercial written because it had been 2 years since I took it last, and it's expired, of course. Need to get that before I can go take my check ride. So I went out, spent a couple nights studying and hit the books and went out and passed the test. I was pretty happy with the results.
Because you passed.
That's right.
What,
and that's
91%?
All you have to do. Well, I didn't want to brag, but yes.
Yes, of course. How many questions are on that test?
101.
Hmm. That's a lot of stuff you got to know. Is that pretty good, Keith? for someone going through that test?
Oh, that's very good.
Yeah.
I mean, it's quite a few points of overkill, but, you know, all you need is a 70 to pass. So.
You got to get 70
and
to
all,
pass.
And all you get is a pass or a fail. You don't get a...
You don't get the 91%?
No.
They don't give you credit. I figured it gives the examiner less to go and grill me on during the oral because, you know...
Well, yeah, but the questions you get wrong, don't they make you go over them and say, hey, why did you miss this and blah, blah, blah. And so the ones you got wrong were what? Let's focus on the negative, Dennis.
Well, I don't have the results in front of me, but
okay.
You know, it was a couple of, you know, just a couple little things that, yeah, I should have known that.
Right. I meant C instead of
pretty
D.
Much.
Yeah, one of those. Yeah, I play that game a little bit, too. But
if you're ever in doubt on one of those FAA tests, pick C.
Pick C?
That's with any multiple choice test, pick C.
Okay. Well, now we know. I did get some study material from a listener this week. I guess that's what this is. Did you see this, Keith?
No.
Take a look at this. Step up here. So this is from one of our diving friends. Is that right, Doug?
Yep. This is from our buddy Doug up here in Minnesota too.
And obviously he has been paying attention to Just Plain Radio on my progress and figured I need more reading material to inspire me to get my pilot certificate. Is that what you think this is?
What he told me was he thought that you needed some motivation, but he figured that Harsh Harold and Mean Dude have been taking one approach, though. So he thought maybe he'd go a different direction to motivate you to get your back into studying here and get that test done.
Okay, so he sent me a book, and Keith is reading it as we speak. As a flight instructor, what is your professional opinion of this piece of literature that Doug has sent me to inspire me to get my pilot certificate there, Keith?
Well, I think it's right on.
Right on, he says.
Yeah.
So the first page reads what? What does it say? Read that, Keith.
Well, it says, Dear Greg, this special book was made just for you.
Oh.
You are the main character, so enjoy the magic as you read, and begin your journey to fly. Remember, there's no high like learning to fly.
Aha. Uh-huh. I wonder where he got that from.
He's a JPR fan.
Yeah, I think he is.
Yes.
I think he definitely is. But he had two reads in there, so there's a typo. But
He's telling you to read and read and read.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
But there's pictures, so
there are pictures.
So I've looked at the book. I haven't read it yet. It's going to take at least a good what?
And the first picture really looks just like you.
Yeah, it's me as an airplane.
It's Greg as an airplane.
What kind of airplane?
But he looks
am
a
I?
Lot like Mater the tow truck. It's awesome.
Well,
you're done.
But he's staring at a gate, and that's kind of where Greg is in his flight training. He kind of looks like a, you know, I'm an old country boy.
Yeah,
and so I use the term a cow staring at a new gate.
Cow staring at a new gate.
Okay. Cows are very habitual animals, and so
if you
move a gate or take a gate away, they'll just stand there and look at it for a very, very long time because they're just completely confused.
Hmm.
And this is kind of what you look like here.
I look like a confused cow.
You're staring at the Wally Acres Flight School.
Yeah. What kind of airplane am I again? It's Greg.
Well, that's what we need to determine, Greg. That's the whole point. What kind of airplane do you want to be?
I thought the book says what kind of airplane I am, doesn't it? It says,
nope.
Greg is an airplane of something. What is that? Greg, you are... And this is like a kiddie book, but it's about airplanes, but it has my name in it.
Well, yeah, because it's made for your level.
It's preschool.
Yeah, well, I'm from the standpoint of being a pilot in training, I'm very much an infant.
Well, I think that we need to send these out to all of our listeners so that this can get distributed around the country.
Yeah.
There'd be about 3 people that get the book.
Right.
And then we'll see how many emails you get to help you along.
Yeah.
Maybe they can
Well, and I think even better would be to get this made into an audiobook and share it on the radio so that we can listen to it. And I think we know a really good narrator that does audiobooks.
That's
for us.
True. I do have some friends, and yeah, maybe I need to just wait for the audiobook as opposed to read it.
That'll take too much effort.
So we can have story time here on Just Plane Radio. We can talk all about Greg the Little Plane and how excited he was as he rolled up to the gates of the Wally Acres Flight School.
Right. And I don't know how I'm supposed to find time to read this book when I'm staring at a gate all day. I mean, I got priorities. You hear what I'm saying, Keith?
Yes, and they're all wrong.
Once again, how many times have I said it? I do what you're not supposed to. You know, so do exactly opposite of me, and you will be a successful aviator.
And that is what most co-pilots do, which is why they're co-pilots instead of pilots.
But at some day, or, you know, someday in the future, I am going to move forward, and I'm going to make it happen. It will happen.
Are you speaking?
No, but there's a gate that's distracting me, and I can't get my eyes off it right now. It's really the back door of the studio, and I'm thinking I ought to leave.
So Keith, I had a listener actually ask me a couple weeks ago, what are we going to do if Greg ever gets his license? I said, nah, I'm not worried.
Come on. Give me a little positive reinforcement instead of kiddie books.
We've tried positive reinforcement. That didn't work. So now we're going the other direction.
Enough of this. Till next week, remember, there's no better high
than learning to fly.
I read that in a book.
Just Plane Radio is brought to you by JustPlaneRadio.com.
I say we take off and nuke the entire site from orbit.
Your aviation resource on the information super skyway.
It's the only way to be sure.
Just Plane Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated.
But just plain wrong.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past shows worldwide over the internet at JustPlaneRadio.com.
I'm going to lead my people up to the radio tower.
So tell a friend and take off every week with Just Plane Radio.
And I'm going to make a call.
The show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Listen up, everybody. I have some news.
The opinions you just heard on Just Plane Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests.
We are screwed.
They are not necessarily those of any station or network, its management, or advertisers.
A little too far. Cross the line.
There are many factors to consider before learning to fly.
What is your problem?
So make sure you do your own research and get the proper instruction before your exploration into aviation.
Thank you very much, sir.
Have any questions or comments? Feel free to do so via the web at JustPlaneRadio.com.